PM.
Here.
Proxy for Councilor Bitteroli.
Here.
Councilor Flannery. Jones.
Here.
Counsel Rachel Wolf.
Here.
Counsel Choi. Right here, gentleman here is not. All right, so with that, let's move on to our agenda. So we'll go to presentations. So we have the student team, executive team goals. The abstract for the presentation is provided in the daily papers, and I should also mention that abstracts are now mandated under the new council standing orders. So President Bannister to sponsor this presentation. Is there a seconder to sponsor this presentation? Councilor Jones, is there any opposition to this presentation? Seeing none, call up the executive team to provide their votes.
Welcome, everybody. We're here today to present we've drafted our goals for the year as an executive team, and we want to present them and communicate them to you to make sure that council's in the loop as far as our goals go. Today we'll be talking about a few things. First off, we'll do a little bit of an overview on the, we're going to do an overview of the Students' Union pillars, that kind of, because we find that's important. All of our goals were created in retrospect of the Students' Union pillars. We'll go over our themes briefly and then dive into each individual theme as we go. So going over the pillars, the Students' Union exists to represent students and advocate for our interests. You'll see this in a lot of the reoccurring goals, as well as offer student-focused services and businesses, organize events and programs that connect campus, and provide space for students. And as I said earlier, spoiler alert, you'll see these throughout our goals in their entirety. And a quick overview of our themes as we go through them. Our first one is to create a welcoming university for students. Our second is to support student culture. Next is one I'm particularly passionate about, bringing students back to campus. And our fourth is a predictable and affordable future for students. And we'll dive into our first theme of welcoming university for students with strengthening student rights.
Yeah, so first of all, please excuse my voice. I'm recovering from a bit of a cold. But what we're going to do is we're going to give a very high-level overview of the goals. So if at any point in time you have a question, we're just going to stop briefly after each category, and you can leave them to the end as well. And we're happy to go in more depth for any of the things you'd like more of an explanation on. So the first one with a welcoming university for students, the first point of that is strengthening student rights. So we know that students who feel welcome on campus are more likely to thrive in their academic life as well as in their extracurricular life. So a point under that that falls into my portfolio is drafting a charter of student rights. So that's something I campaigned on, and my goal this year is to work with the university to establish a committee where we can draft a charter, and that will have a consolidated document outlining what students are entitled to as a member of this campus community. Something Reed's interested in is advocating for tenant rights on and off campus, as well as increasing the right to work for international students. Next one. The next point under a welcoming university for students is supporting diverse student identities. So that includes raising awareness of diversity in the classroom, finishing large internal research projects, as well as increasing collection of demographic information by the university. So I'll hand over to Shane so he can expand a bit more on those points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this was a point that I campaigned quite heavily on during the election. And the idea behind this is in order to properly and fully have conversations about diversity identities in the classroom, we have to first understand who's in the classroom. And so one of my projects moving forward is to reevaluate how we collect demographics and what demographics we collect, so we can start having some real conversations around things like race, gender identity, sexual identity, and so on.
Yeah. And then the last point of this is working towards further reconciliation with our Indigenous students and members of our campus. And that is something that does touch every goal within this PowerPoint, but we wanted to make sure that we highlighted that, and that includes being in constant communication with different Indigenous groups on campus and making sure that our advocacy is in line with what they would like to see as well. And the last point under a welcoming university for students is improving accessibility to resources, services, and supports. So So that includes establishing a syllabi database and more accessibility to scholarships, as well as better having a better network among mental health resources and anti-sexual violence resources, and that includes supporting campaigns of that nature as well. Did you want to expand on those?
No, you covered it well.
Wonderful. we've narrowed this PowerPoint down to science. I didn't realize this was on two. So, and then the last point under this is, do you want to talk about the Access Fund or no?
Yeah, I can briefly say. So, those on Finance Committee are probably pretty familiar with this, but this year we need to take another look at how the Access Fund fee is administered. Essentially, the Access Fund is a portion of the Supplementary Bursary Program that provides emergency support to students. But through our experience last year, as well as in previous years, we've seen the demand is growing. Well, there isn't enough funds to supply those emergency bursaries. So we need to take a second look at how it's administered this year, and Finance Committee will be working quite closely with that.
So the next big theme we have is supporting student culture. So we know that, you know, U of A students, we're so diverse, we have so many faculties, but it's still important that students feel like they have a U of A experience where they can bond with peers regardless of what faculty they're in and feel like they're part of a larger campus community here. So the first one of that, and this is very important for folks like you as student counselors, as some of you I know are involved with your faculty association or department associations as well, is we want to be supporting student representatives. So that includes faculty associations, department associations, people in residence associations. We also want to promote inclusivity in student governance. So one of my projects that I've already launched this year, STRIDE, aims to increase the amount of women and non-binary folks in student governance. So that would fall under the pillar of increasing inclusivity. We also want to increase our training opportunities for those student leaders. So whether that's anti-oppression training, which some of you got at GovCamp, or training on how to deal with students who are dealing with mental health issues. And lastly, we want to promote transparency with resident services, and that's a group that works very closely with residents associations. So something that this falls a lot under Robin's portfolio is we want to enhance the student group experience, as well as Ilya's portfolio, of course. So that includes continuing our conversations with the Dean of Students about student group management falling under the Students' Union's portfolio instead of the university's portfolio. We also want to reevaluate if Bear's Den is working for students. People are like, it's not, and we hear ya, but we have to figure out how that's gonna look in the future. And then lastly, which Robin can go into, is we wanna offer a full suite of operational supports for our student groups.
Yeah, so I'll dive a little bit into that one. Essentially, if anyone here has been involved in organizing an event with a student group or a faculty association, my personal experience with it was kinda tough. You kinda get thrown around to different organizations in the city. Like, do we go to that bar? Do we go to this hotel? Do we go to this space? All that kind of stuff. Well, we have a little mini city here at the University of Alberta. So what we want to do in the Students' Union is essentially provide all of those services in a one-stop shop so you can host an event on campus, have your posters printed right here, and then check people if they're in your club by the membership cards printed at Subprint. So we want to offer that this year with student groups, and myself, as well as a few members of the Students' Union staff, are working to find, especially contact almost every student group and offer those services.
So the last point under supporting student culture, actually I shouldn't say that, I don't know what the next slide is, but is collaborating with the Edmonton to make Edmonton a better place to learn and thrive. So we acknowledge that not all students are from Edmonton and the surrounding area when they come here to study, and we want to make sure that they don't only feel oriented to the U of A, but they also feel oriented to the community and understand what it's like to be a student here in Edmonton. So that involves working with the City of Edmonton to establish a community orientation program, as well as educating students about housing options in Edmonton and developing employment strategies so that graduates of the U of A aren't necessarily going outside the city for jobs. They feel as though they have excellent job prospects here as well. Alrighty, so the third theme is bringing students back to campus. So this is something that Robin mentioned he's very interested in. Something that Ilya wants to do is better promote, we want to promote a vibrant campus. We know that one of the ways we can do that is through supporting our student athletes. So we have amazing, we have an amazing athletics program here at the U of A. We have a lot of students who, play excellent level, high level athletics, as well as are part of doing their scholarship, and we want to make sure that students are going out to support those athletes, having a great and safe time at those games, and really using that as a mechanism to promote campus culture. And ILLE is also interested in establishing an events calendar for student groups to utilize more. So something, the next theme is improving campus spaces. So there's two main points under this. One of them is housing and residence development. So being in the conversation when new residences such as the Peter Lougheed Hall are coming to fruition, and being in constant conversation about how that looks for students, and our student consultation being taken into consideration there. We also want to champion deferred maintenance, which is something I'll let Robin talk
sure.
a bit more about.
So some of you may have noticed in the news last year that there was a pretty big headline that the University of Alberta essentially has a deferred maintenance bill of upwards of $800 million. And what that is it's essentially maintenance that was foregone for various reasons, but last year we had a pretty big, the University of Alberta had a big win with it, and they received about $149 million for funding for the Dent Farm building. But with a victory, that doesn't mean that we need to stop, that issue goes away. So at the Students' Union, we believe that students can be a champion for this discussion because it affects students directly when stuff isn't up to snuff. So we want to make sure that discussion continues and students are leaders in that discussion.
So the next one is making a better Students' Union building. So although issues like deferred maintenance and other buildings on campus is something we do more of an advocacy focus on, we do have more control over what goes on in our building. So those points include creating a video creation space in the Students' Union building, solidifying the Student Event Center plan, as well as developing a comprehensive plan for the Meyer Horowitz campaign and like fundraising and theater.
Yeah, I'll dive into a couple more details. So on the first point, it's pretty self-explanatory, but one thing we've noticed lately is, be it your extracurriculars, your student projects, there isn't really a place on campus for you to really create videos unless you're a member of the Fine Arts Department, which you have access to, but not all students have that access. So we have some space in the Students Union building, and we want to create a space for students to do any kind of filmmaking that their time here might need. And then we also, last year we talked a little bit about the Students' Union building and its long-term plans, and we would like to transform it into a bit of a pure event, like an event-centered building, which we want to solidify the plan for this year. And lastly, a big goal of the Students' Union this year will be to solidify a complete plan for the Meyer Horowitz Theater renovations, both in the design aspect as well as in the fundraising side of things.
All right, so our last theme, we're just really breezing through this, which is great because we have more time for questions, is a predictable and affordable future. So we acknowledge that it's very expensive to be a university student, whether that means tuition costs or mandatory non-instructional fees, living costs, the opportunity costs of being here. There's a lot of different expenditures, and we want to make sure that while students are studying here, they can really focus on their academics and their extracurriculars and not feel overly stressed out by the financial aspect of being a student. Likewise, we want to make sure that people, when they're convocating, they're moving into the workforce, not feeling like they have a ton of debt due to those expenses. So this falls largely under Reed's portfolio, which I'll hand it over to him, but we want to make sure we're advocating for affordable post-secondary education. Reed, do you want to explain your points under that?
Yeah, for sure. I know there'll be another slide immediately following this
one,
but for this point in particular, reducing base tuition costs is largely what the Council of British University students have developed over the past year. It's their ask or their advocacy efforts to basically reduce tuition by half. It's a model that is based on costs increasing from 1992 onwards, when tuition became largely deregulated. Now we're hoping to see movement on this within the next year, hopefully by the next election cycle. So this is something we want to continue, and we want our institution to take very seriously.
Yeah.
On the federal side, that's also making sure that things like grants, all of those sort of things continue to increase, and access to those sort of upfront needs-based systems are a priority for our federal government.
So likewise, we want to make sure that, so that would be the base tuition part of our advocacy, but we also want to make sure that non-academic costs are also regulated. So that includes advocating for an affordable meal plan, affordable housing on campus, as well as making sure we have subsidized work programs and strategies for those graduates. All right, so the last part of this is regulating post-secondary education costs. So both the other ones were, you know, lowering and managing and making sure there's consultation. With this one, we also want to make sure all the costs are predictable. So that includes maybe looking into provincial regulation for mandatory non-instructional fees. And in case you're not familiar, mandatory non-instructional fees are basically just like the costs you pay outside tuition. So and there's lots of different types. There's the Students Union fee is a mandatory non-instructional fee, but there's also other fees for other services and things that you provide as well. And the last point here is we want to have predictable and sustainable tuition for international students. Did either of you want to explain that?
I can give a quick context of the first one. For our provincial advocacy groups and for us going forward, that looks like making sure that student input is taken into account for managing non-instructional fees, and making sure that provincial regulation includes things like student plebiscites or referendum for the increases of fees, just like we do here for all of our students' union fees. We'd like to see the same for all fees across the province that would be mandatory non-instructional fees. The Pursue Civilian Picnic International Student Tuition is regulating the international differential fee. It's pretty straightforward. We want to see it regulated either through just regulation, but hopefully through provincial legislation.
So that wraps up our themes, as well as the goals within those themes. And you might be asking, okay, we got goals. What are we going to do next? So our next steps are we're going to set midterm benchmarks, and then we'll come back to council with a bit of a mid-year update of where we're sitting with our goals, continually updating Students' Council, so ensuring that Students' Council is up to date with all of our projects, which we'll do through with our written reports, as well as oral reports, as well as the committee work that we're involved in, and enlisting your help. So if any of these goals or any of these themes are interested to you, I urge you to contact us. We're looking for all the help we can, and we're more than willing to have you on our team for any of that. So now I'll open the floor to any questions. Just a quick review. Our four themes we went over. We want to have a welcoming university for students. We want to support student culture. We want to bring students back to campus to enjoy that culture. And we'd like students to have a predictable and affordable future here and when they graduate.
Awesome. So that wraps up our presentation. We have about 15 minutes for questions, so lots of time. And we could probably just manage this unless you would like to, Sadiq. So, yeah. We'll start. Did Delaine, do you see your hand?
I do have a question.
Yeah.
First of all, excellent presentation. It all was really, really great. Very, very thorough. Just a quick question for Rob, Vice President Patches. Where is the space for the video production space?
Lower level, the same pod. I think it's east pod. Lower level, east pod at the end of the hallway. It's the same area that UAB and the landing's in.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The technical college in Florida decided that they better talk to the companies, paper companies, because what they did is develop engineers for the paper companies. And at that particular time, the personnel went and took a look at the program and said, well, I'll tell you this, you graduate 303 engineers, and we don't use diesel engineers anymore, and the whole St. Louis not. So what I'm talking about is this. What is our link to what we're teaching versus what's happening up there? I say this because the trend today is for group learning and multidisciplinary work. It's very rarely today in our society that we hire somebody from a graduate or a faculty. We want somebody who can think on how to solve problems. Now, the global universities right now are already saying, here's the problems we're working on. And they're doing it interdisciplinary. So far, my initial thing of doing it interdisciplinary was that I talked to one faculty member. He came back to me, I'm too busy right now, get back to me later. It seems to me that we should be looking at interdisciplinary, and it should come from student initiatives to work on problems. Now, I'm quite willing to work with anybody see that become a reality, but it is a concern of mine. I thank you for listening to me. So I want to spend the rest of my time listening to you.
Thank you for raising your point. We've had prior conversations as well. I think although it's not one of our goals, so it's kind of a sidetrack, but interdisciplinary program offerings are something that I know myself and the executive are proponents of, and I'm sure I echo when I say that the Students' Council also is proponents of it. I also know that the university is looking at increasing those kinds of program offerings. I understand the need to have student support behind that, and I think the student support is there. Mm-hmm. I know from my different committees I sit on, the university is looking at things like learning outcomes to ensure that we're producing, or not producing students is a bad term, but like that students are graduating and having the skills they need to be able to enter the workforce and create change in the world. And increasingly there's been more and more interdisciplinary options.
I totally agree with you. What you people are trying to do is excellent. But I really believe there should be some initiative for students. Because I might have jobs for people here, but they don't want to do them. Because what they're asking for, and this junior education is trying to solve, are problems that we should be facing and should be looking at. But there's a tendency, and I've been a professor, and I've taught people, well, why don't you want to learn the things I want to know? That's not what I want. So as a result, how do we look at what the students themselves need, our problems of tomorrow, and how do we address them? But thank you very much.
I wish I could speak a bit more to it. Unfortunately, it isn't in our goal presentation.
Any other questions? Yes?
Sorry. So when you were mentioning reconciliation, that you were also talking about looking at the demographics of who's in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just that I'm confused, but when you're looking at reconciliation and working with not only Indigenous students, but also the traditionally marginalized students, are you looking at doing research to find out the demographics, or are you actually looking at reconciliation?
Yeah, so there are two different but similar points. So the point towards that demographic collection, how that came about is we were looking at, we did a research project looking at diversity in student governance broadly, and we found that we couldn't really compare the research findings we were gathering to the larger student body because we don't have those numbers, those statistics. And so what I'm looking into is following something similar to what the University of Toronto is doing right now and kind of having a census model, so it's a bit more of an opt-in. But they're gathering more information about who's actually sitting in the classroom. And then when it comes to reconciliation, I think reconciliation in itself is such a big topic, a topic we all kind of have a part in, as well as council. And so working through the ad hoc committee, working with Aboriginal Student Services, Aboriginal Student Council, Faculty of Native Studies, to try and ensure that we are moving towards reconciliation more broadly. Mm-hmm. So they're similar but different. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Counselor Howell, did you have a question?
I do. Yeah. So my question is kind of inspired by this point, I guess. Are you maybe looking into like involving students at large in these projects? So like with the video creation space, would you be interested in like partnering with like the fine arts students or I'm not sure the like partnering with like business students or engineering students, so they get like work experience on campus while they're a student. I don't know how that would work.
Sure,
but
I'll start broadly first.
Okay.
Like, thank you for the question. In a broad sense, with all of our goals, like we absolutely want to include as many students as possible, whether it's the video creation space or Stride or the mental health programming or any of the number of goals. So, you know, we want to involve students in a number of different ways. One of them through consultation, so making sure that we're moving in a direction that students want to see us go in. One of our student student values also is hiring student staff. So whenever possible, we do strive to employ current or at least recent graduates of the University of Alberta to promote that employment opportunity. But in a council framework, if any of you are interested in a specific goal or even a specific portfolio, I would very much encourage you to either drop into our office hours, send us an email, or set up an appointment where we can talk about where we can work more collaboratively in a specific way. So we probably aren't gonna go out and say, like Councillor whoever Brophy, like you should, I would love it if you would help me with this specific issue. But if Councillor Brophy expresses interest to me in helping with an issue, I'd be more than receptive to having that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
So then is there a way that we can reach out to students with like this presentation or like these goals so that they have like the knowledge to engage?
Absolutely. So we will have a public goals document which will be available on the website shortly. So once that's available, we can absolutely put that in, email it out to you folks or put it in the council WhatsApp, and you're welcome to distribute that as widely as you'd like.
Also just for future reference, whenever under the council page on the SU page, all presentations made to council are all put on there and archived.
Yeah.
So you're more than welcome to take this presentation, share it. I know that you guys have that you consolidated your pages into the education counselors.
Mm-hmm.
You can throw it up there, you can do whatever you'd like. Yeah,
yeah.
It's all public.
Just on one point, you might find key people to initiate this are your librarians who are not switching from knowledge base to problem solving base working with groups. So they should be the first person to contact.
Are there any other questions? Yep.
For the multimedia suite, is that something that's going to be open and ready to go by the end of the year, or is that something that we're getting started for future exec teams to look at too?
Open and ready by the end of summer.
Cool. This summer?
Yep. It's already all the equipment's already ordered.
Oh.
Check.
Yeah.
For you.
Are there any other goals yet, Councillor Hassan? I said goals, other questions?
If there's a specific section that one of us wants to work on, do we know who to contact, or do we just stop by someone's office hours and be like, can you refer me to the right executive to speak to about this?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you're not sure how to contact us, I would just recommend talking to me, and I can point you to the pertinent VP, which portfolio that falls under. And something to keep in mind is, you know, our goals definitely have a portfolio lead, but they're not so siloed that, you know, the things I'm working on are only things that all have an impact with. Like, our goals do blend into each other. And so, for example, external advocacy. Reed is our counselor, Vice President Larson is the main external advocate, but I also have a role in that as well. So there, you can definitely talk to a number of different one of our executives about that. You know, if you get the right VP, you'll get the expert on the issue, but all of us are able to speak to all the goals listed in the PowerPoint. Yeah. Any other questions? No. You can also have comments. It doesn't need to be questions. Yeah.
So you talked about like the one-stop shop concept.
Yeah.
Student group for the events and stuff. Oh, nice. So is that going to fall under the purview of student group services, or is that going to be like a totally new department within the students union?
Yeah, so it's not going to, specifically, it's not going to be a new department. It'll, student group services will almost serve as a bit of a, almost a, hey, you want this? You can talk to these individuals. So for example, if you'd like to host an event at Room at the Top or Dewey's, student group services will point you in the direction of our business promotion coordinator, Emma. Or if you want to host an event out in the Students Union building, they'll point you in the direction of our programming and venues team. So they'll kind of shoot you in the right direction. Yeah.
Well, if there's no more questions, you can also ask us any follow-up questions in question period, or definitely reach out to us separately and if you want to talk about any of our goals. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Presentations are executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report?
I will.
All right, Vice President Patrick, go ahead.
That wasn't official. Okay, so let's see. Last Friday, in my report, I talked about just something a little quickly that shows my written report. I mentioned in my report that we were going to receive the results of the feasibility study on last Friday, and we did. And I'll be consolidating those and reporting to council in the near future. We're just still working with it. It's a quite extensive report, so we're having like multiple meetings to go through it. We're only about two-thirds of the way through right now. So once we're through that, I'll go ahead and inform council of the results of that.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Vice President Ushakov, go ahead.
Hey guys, so beyond the report, Vice President Patches and I went to the Pride Parade this weekend, which was a really good time. The energy there was actually phenomenal and really vibrant. Beyond that, I've been going to convocation. All of us have been going to different convocation. I attended the nursing convocation lately. And something I'm looking forward to is Vice President Larson, President Bannister, and myself going to the Wellness Summit on the 20th, where they will likely make mental health funding announcements. So we're eager to hear about that, hoping for the best. But yeah, that's about it.
Thank you very much, Vice President Ushakov. Any other members of the executive wish to make a report? Vice President Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, let me tell you my report pretty short. One thing, so I'm starting up a group that the VPA holds every year called ARG, so the Academic Relations Group. So applications are live. There's a posting on Jobkin. I also shared on Facebook. If you want to apply, the group basically is kind of like an advisory group to the VPA academic, and then members also act as delegates on a variety of different committees that the VPA is specifically requested for. So yeah, like I said, applications are live on Jobkin. GWAG also met yesterday, so Gov Week is coming along fairly well. We have a great start. We're starting to reach out to some people. Fairly excited. If anyone put the name forward for any of the GFC committees that we're looking for members, if you could just give me a heads up, because I'm going to nominate a committee on Thursday, and I'll hear all about that and give the colleagues a piece.
Thank you very much, Vice President Scott. Any other members of the executive who wish to make their report? Vice President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, aside from what was listed in my report, I was in Calgary yesterday morning, got to sit out at U of C, see their campus, see their building. They are still in an ongoing legal battle over the ownership of their building, so if you have time, make sure to Google that and check out what that's all about. As far as provincial advocacy goes, the reason why I will be heading down to Calgary for the Wellness Summit is because on the 19th, we will be having our CAUSE Council of University Students AGM. At that meeting, we will basically go over some policy updates, a discussion guide, and a priorities document. So if anybody has interest in what provincial advocacy will look like over the next year, that's all going to be developed in the next 6 weeks, so maybe just shoot me a line if there's anything that you're interested in. Aside from that, I'm going to be going to a meeting on the 26th. It's going to be a day long about funding frameworks for universities, so that's going to be fairly interesting, and that will be through my position as CAUSE chair. Aside from that, there's some internal stuff going on. We're getting excited for the municipal elections. We're hoping to have a forum. We're just going to be get out the vote stuff. Remember to vote. It's very important. Tell everybody else to vote. Also very important. But we'll talk about that later. We did media training. I think that was today. That was pretty fun. That was today. Time has no meaning. We are. It was actually pretty good. I'm very happy that we got it done. And then last up, we're in the news cycle a little bit. So the SU was mentioned about the national. We've been had some conversations around fish and free speech and some other stuff. So if you have any questions about what's going on externally, let me know.
Thank you very much, Vice President Larson. President Bannister, go ahead.
I'll just keep it very brief. The only thing I'll update is the STRIDE applications have closed. We're very happy with the applicants we have for the summer cohort. We are having our first meeting on Thursday, so I'm really excited about that, and I think it's going to be a cool program, which I'm happy to update council about more as it rolls out.
Thank you very much. With that, we'll close executive committee reports and move into board and committee reports. We'll start with the audit committee.
All right, thank you. So at our last meeting, we had a very nice presentation from VP Patches about how to perform the functions of audit for the council's review of the committee. It's wonderful and informative, as always. And coming up at our next meeting. It's one of the more exciting ones of the year, if you're into this sort of thing, because it is going to be our the presentation from KPMG as they run through their plan for this year's big SU audit, assuming that we choose to hire them again for that for the big audit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councillor Christensen for an update on the bylaw committee.
Thank you. Bylaw committee met last week. We actually took on a new project and working on adjusting the student council standing orders. Also today there will be the second reading of bill number 2, which was sent out to you yesterday.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Councillor Howie, did you want to provide an update on the council administration committee?
So yeah, just so you all know, I was interim chair today, which is why I'm now providing a report. So we passed new committee standing orders for CAC as well as new council standing orders today. The council standing orders are not online yet, but they will be, and I highly recommend that everyone take a read through them. Some particular changes to note are the ones that the speaker mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, but also meetings now must be adjourned at 10 p.m., as well as we have live streaming actually in the standing orders, so there is some like rules around that. So again, once they're posted, I highly recommend everyone look at them. There are some significant changes, so please look at them. And if you have questions, please ask any member of CAC or bylaw, because it's gone through a couple. So, or a question period, also a great time. So yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councillor Howe. We will go next to Vice President Patches for an update on the Finance Committee.
I have no update, as Finance Committee did not meet because there was no business.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Vice President Scott for an update on the nominating committee.
We also did not meet because there was a business.
Thank you very much. We'll jump back over to Councillor Howie for an update on the policy committee.
Policy did meet. so we didn't pass any new policies or anything, but we did have some discussions around all of the policies that are being reviewed this year. Again, there are 8 or 9 of them, so if you have an interest in any policy almost, please come and talk to us or come to a policy meeting, because we likely will be talking about it. Additionally to that, there was talk of a couple of new policies coming in this year, specifically one around accessibility, so stay tuned.
Thank you very much, Councillor Howie. We'll jump over to Governor Sundari if he wants to provide an update on the Board of Governors.
Sure. So besides what's in my reports, the next meeting for Board of Governors is going to be next Friday, the June 23rd at 8 a.m. So I'm going to call into that, and I'll update you on what happens there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other reports from any other board or committees? Seeing none, we'll go into open forum. So once again, as I mentioned at the start of council, we've seen some changes through the recent standing order changes to open forum and question period, the most significant of which, in my opinion, is the limitation on the number of questions that can be asked and the length of time of questions and answers. So both are the same. Councillors are limited to 3, or guests for open forum and councillors, members of Students Council for question period, are limited to 3 oral questions. There's no limit to written questions. So hint, hint, written questions, submit as many as you like. We're trying to encourage that. Questions have a time limit of 30 seconds, so you must ask your question within a 30-second time frame, and answers must be provided within 2 minutes. So I think 30 seconds I think we're trialing 30 seconds also, so 30 seconds is not enough time. We're like the CAC and bylaw, when they were talking about it, we're willing to extend that to a minute or longer, or 45 seconds or something that was longer than 30 seconds, I should say. So with that, we'll start our first 15 minutes. I only actually have 1 registered guest, so unless anyone else wants to register as a guest and ask a question, are there any questions for open forum? And again, so once again, you need to register as a guest, so come talk to me so I can put your name down. And also a reminder, anyone can ask questions as a guest. It's not limited to undergraduate students. It can be anyone, any member of the public, anybody. So are there any questions for open forum? question period. So before we start off with any written questions, we had a couple of, before we started to oral questions, we had a couple of written questions come from Councillor Christensen. The first was to President Bannister regarding Bylaw 600 bilingualism. President Bannister provided a response. Councillor Christensen, did you want to follow that response up with a question?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. So we'll move on to the second written question that Councillor Christensen submitted that had to do with improvements at Room at the Top. Vice President Patches provided a response. Councillor Christensen, was there a follow-up to that response?
No, thank you.
Wonderful. So we'll start our oral questions for question period. So again, you have 3 questions and 30 seconds in which to ask your question. So are there any questions for question period? Seeing none, we'll close question period there. Great way to trial out our new standing order changes. We'll move on to board and committee business. So bill number 1, elections forums amendment, the second reading. So again, the actual bylaw changes can be found as information item 9A on the main agenda. So councillors Christensen and Howie move to approve the second reading of bill number 1, elections forums on the recommendation of bylaw committee based on the following first principles. The principles are listed on the main agenda and were the same first principles that were passed at the last meeting of Students' Council. So again, as a reminder to everybody, your job at this point is to make sure that the actual bylaw changes reflect what was passed in first principles. So if something was changed that you don't believe is in the spirit of first principles, that's where debate comes in. Unfortunately, the debate window on the first principles at this point has now closed. So you can't debate the actual first principles. You have to debate the actual bylaw changes that were made based on these first principles. Before we go into introductions, does anyone have any questions on that? Because that can be confusing. Councilor Troy. So first principles, when the first principles were passed at the last meeting of Students' Council, that's when councillors could debate the merits of these first principles. Once the first principles were passed, bylaw committee took these first principles and created bylaw changes to bylaws, to bylaw 2200 and 2300 to reflect these first principles. So whatever you read in here, the changes that were made to those bylaws, this is like the spirit and the template for which those changes were made. Hopefully I'm using good terminology here. But does that make more sense? Does anybody have any questions about that? This is important because Councillor Christensen last year passed a number of bylaws and a number of bills that were first principles were argued when it was time for second reading. And it's not the appropriate time to be talking about first principles. So I just want to make sure that's very clear right off the bat. It's okay if you don't understand. Just let me know if you don't understand. We'll talk it out. All right. Okay. Councillor Christensen, did you want to introduce your motion? Please go ahead.
So if you scroll down into the second reading options, which are in red text on page 7 of the package, it goes through all of the changes to bylaws 2200, 2300. Bylaw 2200, it is very self-explanatory. It mandates only one forum is mandated, and that's not a real change from the what was before. It's just created regulations around all forums that will be organized by the elections office. Last year there was at least 4 or 5 additional ones outside of the minor organized forum, and this will at least allow for regulations to ensure that standardized rules are followed throughout. And then really the only other big change is that the elections office is no longer mandated that the CRO must be the person there. It's any member of the elections office, which could include the DRO or CRO. And then also adds a new clause to address the DIVE Order Relief 2016-01, and that is to prevent any interference with people asking questions during an elections office organized forum.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on the second principles or motion 7A? So on the bylaw changes. else? Is there any debate? Seeing none, we will go to a vote. So give me 1 second to get the voting system going here. So the voting system should now be live. Please vote. Again, a plus is a vote for, a minus is a vote against, and a zero is an abstention. The voting will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 24 in favor, 1 opposed, and 3 abstentions. With the abstentions that have been voted. Vice President Scott. Thank you very much. So that motion carries. So again, if you have not had a chance to read through any of the reports from the executives, or if you'd like to reference the presentation, those are provided in the main agenda and the late editions. Also, Governor Sundari's report is in the late editions as well. Other than that, again, the council standing order changes should be on the website shortly. I recommend that all of you take some time to go through those to understand what changes have been made to the structure. So Councillor Howie pointed out something very critical that I missed, which is no matter what items of business are left on the agenda, at 10 o'clock, the meeting will be adjourned. Obviously, council can suspend the rules if they would like to continue debate on a particular item, but 10 p.m. basically is the cutoff point, and then all the items of business after 10 p.m. will be transferred over to the next meeting of Students Council. That's also very important. All right, so with that, we'll take attendance very quickly again, and then we will adjourn. President Bannister.
Here.
Vice President Scott.
Present.
Vice President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Patches.
Here.
Vice President Ushakov.
Here.
Governor Sundari.
Here.
Councillor Lefferson. Councillor Chu.
Here.
Prosecutor Councillor Gitta.
Here.
Councillor Hassan.
Here.
Councillor Piasecki.
Here.
Councillor Wilson. Prosecutor Councillor Lilo.
Yeah.
Councillor Liu. Councillor Swain. Councillor Palandat.
Here.
Councillor Howell.
Hi. Here.
Councillor Ferris.
Here.
Councillor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councillor Eddywan. Councillor Kanawi. Councillor Sorensen.
Here.
Councillor Hamid.
Here.
Councillor Brophy.
Here.
Councillor Christensen.
Here.
Proxy for Councillor Sunday.
Here.
Proxy for Councillor Brittaroli.
Here.
Councillor Flynn.
Here.
Councillor Kwan. Councillor Howie.
Here.
Councillor DePinto.
Here.
Councillor Mahal.
Here.
Councillor Kim.
Here.
Councillor Jones.
Here.
Councillor Rachel Wan. Councillor Choi.
Here.
Here. Meeting is adjourned at 6:54 p.m.
This is very fast. Really. Yeah. This is very quick. Efficiency is wonderful. But on the 1 point, 2 minutes to respond, then you say if the community want a majority vote extended, they could. Therefore, leaving a leeway for a question that would be more than 2 minutes.
Yeah, so the rules can be suspended to allow answers or questions that are a little bit longer than that. So that option is available if they so choose.
Counselor discount cards for everybody here. So as counselors, you get 10% off at SU businesses. I got a stack of them up here for everybody.
Wait. Oh, I'm gonna hand them out. People are gonna take more.
Studio that can book, because that's kind of what we're going to do. It's
going to be a room with like some lights or like some green light screen with filmed cameras that can be like
and then five bylaws and a fortune.
Yeah.